Good morning. This is the fifth message in 1 Peter, and we'll be reading today from a section that I think encompasses everything he has to say on the subject of hope and suffering. And it's chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. I'll be reading that here in a moment. 1 Peter was written to a handful of congregations that were struggling with what it meant to be faithful. They were enduring hardship because of their commitment to Christ and because of their allegiance to their faith. This hardship, this suffering, prompted deep questions. They were wondering why they were suffering and where God is in the midst of all this. While 1 Peter was written to be a manual for discipleship, teaching them how to live their faith, what it means to follow Jesus in the world, it is also an incredible document on the connection between hope and suffering. Today in our world, a lot of people don't see the connection between the two. But Peter offers us in this letter this incredible and powerful revelation that's truly unique to our Christian faith. If there was one thing about who we are and our identity as followers of Christ, what we uniquely have to offer the world, it is this: that we have a unique understanding of the connection between hope and suffering. That suffering does not eliminate hope, but instead, suffering is the birthplace for real hope. That suffering is what forges our deepest faith. And a hope that is forged in suffering is a light that cannot be easily dimmed by hardship, adversity, and obstacles. The reality is that the people in our world who have made the greatest impact in moments of crisis, the greatest of our leaders who have led us into new futures and to bold adventures, have been those who have tasted defeat, who have experienced loss, who have walked through darkness, and there at the bottom of themselves have found a light that they would not have otherwise found. And when you have found that light in the midst of darkness that has reached you at the bottom of yourself, it is where hope is born. I want you to think about this statement for a minute. Pain for your transformation, or it can be the cancer of your soul. Pain is either going to be a catalyst that leads to your change and transformation into the birth of hope, or it will be the cancer that erodes and destroys your soul. And the reason you need Jesus Christ in your life is because the one who tasted death and who was resurrected from the grave is the right one to guide you to seeing the difference between the two. When he's in your life, he gives you the capacity to see the hope in the suffering as opposed to just the despair. Now, Peter knows what he's talking about. These are not the words written from someone in some ivory tower. These are not the words in some little simple devotional book written by someone who's never been tested by the fires of suffering. But they come out of the heart of a man who endured suffering. Here's what he says. Now, who would want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you. Pause. What is the reward? The reward for suffering is not eternal life. The reward for suffering is hope. Eternal hope. So don't worry or be afraid of the threats of life and their threats. Instead, you worship Christ as the Lord of your life. In those moments of darkness and fear and struggle and anxiety, you can look to the darkness, or you can look to the one who walked through darkness. It's our choice. Because he's there in the darkness reaching out his hand. I've been to hell and back. Will you now take my hand? What is so sad to me is so often I meet people who have been to the end of themselves, and they are facing deep guilt, deep shame, deep regret. And then Jesus Christ reaches out his hand and says, you get a new life. I paid the penalty of your sin. I took your hurt on my body. Will you take my hand? Let me lead you to new life. And then even with that wonderful offer of new life and resurrection, there are those who still say no, who prefer to stay in the pain, who still prefer to grope about in the dark. Don't hold on to the pain. Reach out to his hand. Worship him. That means put him at the center. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. And then he says, instead, if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So that when people look at your life, they're able to say to you, well, how can you do that? How did you walk through that? The world is looking for that hope. The hope you have as a believer. Be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Let me say what he's saying there. What he's essentially saying in this section is that when you live your life, you're going to rise above all the discord and the hate and the darkness in the world. You're not going to play by the world's rules. You're going to leave behind the insults and the hatred, the vitriol, the meanness of spirit, the nastiness, the insulting of other people, of getting back those who got you. Instead, you're going to rise above it so that when people look at you, they will be able to see Christ in you. And you will have a clear conscience. And you will bring honor to the name of Jesus as opposed to dishonor. And so he says, remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. If you're going to suffer in life, and you're going to suffer, you can suffer for doing nothing, just letting life roll on, never going any deeper. Or you can suffer because of the poor choices that you've made, and we all do. Or you can choose to do the right thing and to suffer for it. Choosing to live Christ's way in the world. Choosing to be merciful, kind, and good. And then he gives us this example. Man, isn't this relevant stuff, folks? You know, I see you leaning in and it makes my heart happy because I'm going to preach. He says, Christ suffered. Here's our example. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So here's the bottom line, folks. You're not going to get there if you don't go there. Did you know that? You're not going to get there if you don't go there. You see, God wants to give you this hope. He wants to put life in your spirit. He wants to put a spring in your step. He wants to put hope in your soul. But you're not going to get there if you don't go there. You're going to waste your pain if you don't go there. You're not going to make the most of all the things that God gives you in your life if you're not willing to go there and to do and invest in God in the same way that he's invested in you. I love it that you come and that you sit here and you listen to the message. That's great. It's inspirational, I hope, for you to be here on Sunday morning or to read a devotional book. But if you want to go there, you got to do the work yourself. You got to look into whatever it is in your life where you need help and you need hope and you need to do your own work. You can't depend on a devotional writer to get what you need. You can't depend on me to get what you need. You got to pick up this book and read it for yourself. Read it for yourself and meditate on the words and allow them to sink down into yourself. You know, when you come and you hear the message on Sunday, sometimes it doesn't get as far as the parking lot. You're in the parking lot and it's already gone because it's like eating donuts. You eat a donut and 30 minutes later you're hungry. My sermons are like donuts. You got to get something stronger than a donut. You got to get the word. You got to feed your soul with the living bread of Jesus. I'm just giving you donuts. God wants to give you bread, man. Now I'm preaching. And so you got to dig in for yourself. And I want to tell you something. You get up in the morning and you open up the scripture or you sit and have a close conversation with a friend and you bear your soul open to God and to another person, what happens is God's going to give you bread. And so that time when you find yourself hungry and you're wanting and you're hurting, man, God's going to give you what you need to get you through what you're going through. Because that's what hope is. That's where hope is born. It's a terrible thing to go through the world and to suffer and to not hope. But suffering, on the other hand, is redeemed by hope. And it becomes the source of our hope. And the beautiful and the powerful thing about this whole thing is that what you discover in those deepest, darkest moments is the thing that you thought that would kill you is the thing instead that makes you and grows you. But ultimately, it's a choice that we have to make. And you and I, we all know the truth about ourselves, right? You're not going to change until you have to change. The only person that likes to change is a baby. Nobody likes a wet diaper. No, but nobody wants to change. And sometimes the only reason we will ever change is if we find something in our life where we have to change. When you walk up against something that you can't fix, think about what is it? What is it that's brought you grief? What is it that's brought you loss? What is it? And you know what? Those moments are sobering moments. They're sobering moments when our pride is crushed. Sobering moments when our heart is broken open. Sobering moments when we face our mortality. Sobering moments when life becomes painfully real. But those sobering moments become sacred moments where we get to make a choice between life and death and hope and despair. It's in those sobering moments that they become sacred, as I said earlier, that Christ reaches out his hand and says, "Here's my invitation to you to go deeper with me, to know me." But the reason we don't open up is we're ashamed. We don't open up to one another because we think there's something wrong with us, or we feel guilty. The reality is that if you're having trouble in your life and you feel loss and grief and you have problems, I just want to say to you, welcome to the human life. Because pain is not optional. It's a part of life, and that's a good thing. Because if your path were only easy, if you only had an easy path, if you never had the struggle, you would never become the person that you were created to be. And you're not going to get there if you don't go there. You're not going to get there if you don't go there. You're not going to get there if you don't go there. What I mean is you got to go there, feel it, and accept the invitation that he wants to give you to something deeper and something that's more meaningful that you can give the world. So right now, we've got some people in our church really have been struggling. Been through chemotherapy, got a good diagnosis, go back for the annual checkup, doctor says, I see something. Go into the hospital, the emergency room, these are all real stories. Go in the hospital, the emergency room, feeling stomach pain, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, now having surgery. Feeling sick, nauseated, going to the hospital, we see something on your liver. We've had several people in the congregation the last few weeks who have been diagnosed with cancer, or people who are facing the fear and the anxiety of their own mortality after ongoing radiation, chemo treatments. And I want to tell you, if you haven't ever been in that spot or known someone in that spot, they will all tell you the same thing, that sometimes it feels like you're in a hurricane. It's something that you have no control over, the emotions and the feelings. One moment you're brave, the next minute you feel like your whole world is coming down. In that moment between when you get the diagnosis and then you find out what the treatment is, it's a very fearful, scary moment because you're living in the what if moment. What if, what if, what if, what if? So I was having a conversation with one of the most beautiful people this week who's recently been diagnosed with cancer, and we were talking about what she was feeling, and I said to her, I used to think that cancer was a gift, but now I don't believe it's a gift. It's strange to say that it's a gift. What I meant by that is that you grow from it. I don't believe it's a gift. Cancer is a horrific, life-altering sickness that changes our world. It's painful and it's a curse. There's no way to describe it other than to say that cancer is a terrible, horrific curse. But there is a gift to be found in it. And a lot of people can share this truth, is that in that moment, there is a hope that can be found there that you would have never known existed until you've walked there yourself and you've been there and you've felt it and you've experienced it. And you know that what you find out is that even though things may not turn out what you hope them to be, even though your life may be shorter than what you expected it to be, even though in spite of all the odds, you know that there is a benevolent God at the heart of everything. Because when you're at the bottom of yourself, you just feel that hand reaching out. And you discover something you could have never discovered anywhere else. And it's hope. So in this text, you know what he says here? And that's the reward, the reward of the reward. What he says here in the text then is, be ready to give your hope. Be ready to give a reason for your hope. And you know what the reason is? The explanation for your hope is? Hope is forged in fire. Hope is an orientation of the Spirit that gives you a fortitude in your soul. It gives you a courageous spirit to fight no matter what. It's the kind of thing that says, I don't care whether I'm successful or not, because this is the right thing to do, I'm going to keep doing it. The world may not be what I want it to be, but because of the benevolent force at the source of the universe, I'm going to keep doing what is right. I'm going to keep doing what is good, regardless of what it costs me. It's a courageous force, a force of fortitude and spirit that grows on the human heart, that comes out of adversity, that cannot be put out by any force or darkness in the world. And all the great leaders who have served us have done it. Ike, or Dwight Eisenhower. You don't know maybe his story, but I've been doing some research because I'm doing a talk this week for a group of military officers, about 50 gather for lunch once a month. They couldn't get anybody else to do it, and I'm free. I come for a cheeseburger. And so I'm going to talk. I'm doing this research on Dwight Eisenhower. And by the way, if you're concerned about the world today and the divisiveness, go read his quotes. Brilliant, unifying. For 30 years, Eisenhower struggled to live in anonymity. Did not feel appreciated. He was always the second man, the one behind the big man. Never given the assignment that he wanted, he faced self-doubt, self-criticism. After 30 years, he was called up and was the one that led the invasion of Normandy and became the 34th president of the United States. He was not the most brilliant man that's ever, or the most visionary man that's ever served in the White House. But he was one of the most principled men that have ever served, and a man with steel in his spine, because for those 30 years when he struggled in anonymity, God was doing something inside of him, was giving him a courageous spirit that was born in hope, and hope, and hope. Hope. So that when the Allied forces were marching across Europe, when he was scared and fearful, he had this resiliency that was founded in his hope that allowed us to be successful. That's the greatest gift we have to offer the world. It's not optimism. Optimism is only as deep as your feelings. But hope is something that's born deeper in the heart and the soul. Listen to what he says at the end of the book. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares to God, for he cares about you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered for a little while, he will restore you. He will support you. He will strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. Somebody needed to hear that word today. Someone today needs support. Someone today needs restoration. Someone today needs strength. I know I need it. So after you have suffered, he will restore you, support you, strengthen you, and will place you on a firm foundation. And it's from that foundation that we're able to serve and offer our lives in this world for what is right and for what is good. And he says, all power to him, all power to him forever. My purpose in writing then is to encourage you and to assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace. Hang on those last words. That what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace. In other words, it may not be that God gave it to you, but in the midst of it, you will find his grace to you. My purpose in writing to you is to encourage you and to assure you that what you're experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in his grace.